Nah, not. He indeed etat tis param ultimate ascharyam wonderful thing swardhumnyaha of the waters of the Ganges yat which iha herewith uditam has been described ananta the supreme lord charana ambhoja from the lotus feet from the lotus of the feet prasutajaha of that which emanates bhava chittaha which can liberate from material bondage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because Mother Ganges emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta Deva, she is able to liberate one from material bondage. Therefore, whatever is described herewith about her is not at all wonderful. Purport. It is actually being seen that everyone who regularly worships Mother Ganges simply by bathing in her waters keep very good health and gradually becomes a devotee of the Lord. This is the effect of bathing in the waters of the Ganges. Bathing in the Ganges is recommended in all Vedic Shastras, and one who takes this path will certainly be completely free from all sinful reactions. The practical example of this is that the sons of Maharaj Sagar went to the heavenly planets when the water from the Ganges merely touched the ashes of their burned bodies. And text 15. Sannivesya manojasmin chadhaja munajo malaha traigunyan dustyajam hitva sadyojatas tat atmanam. Translation, great sages completely free from material lusty desires devote their minds fully to the service of the Lord. Such persons are liberated from material bondage without difficulty, and they become transcendentally situated, acquiring the spiritual quality of the Lord. This is the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Rupa Swami Dinamina. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatyade Satarine Vancha Kalpa Taruvyasha Kripa Sindhu Vyayvacha Patidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Good morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome Anastasia Mataji. She's going to be with us for 2 weeks. 1 week. Okay. It's very nice to have you here. Thank you for coming. So, the glories of Mother Ganges is being described in these verses. And specifically because the quality that Mother Ganges possesses to actually free anyone, purify anyone completely of any sinful activities, regardless of what kind of sinful activity it is described here. Because the Ganges basically have come into contact with the lotus feet of the Lord, so has bathed the lotus feet of the Lord. We hear before how that happens when Lord Vamanadev pierces the coverings of the universe and the waters from the causal ocean that is beyond this material world. The causal ocean is what divides the spiritual realm and the material world. And it's called the causal ocean because Lord Vishnu, in the form of Karunadakshay Vishnu, is lying in the water, and from him the whole material manifestation comes. Millions and millions of universe comes. And so those waters are on the spirit, beyond the material world. And when Lord Vamanadev pierces the coverings of this particular universe, the water from the causal ocean came into through that hole that was caused, and then touched the feet of Lord Vamanadev, and then descended, and that's the water of the Ganges. So it is explained here that because Mother Ganges emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of God, that she is able to liberate one from material bondage. So Prabhupada explains that it's been seen, people observe this, that actually those faithful, devout worshippers that regularly bathe in Mother Ganges, they're actually very healthy. They have very good health, and their life becomes increasingly devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is said that it's about 2 million pilgrims that bathe throughout, you know, the whole covering of Mother Ganga, from the Himalayas all the way to the Bay of Bengal. 2 million pilgrims daily. 2 million people daily bathe in the Ganges. Daily. It's one of the glories of being taking birth in India. I mean, we see all kinds of people taking bath. If you have gone to India in the Ghats, you know, sometimes we see pictures, especially some of the probably the most popular spot that has been the most advertised or photographed is in Varanasi, the holy city of Varanasi, which was known as Benares. And it's famous because the Ganges, you know, in its big majestic form, it flows next to Varanasi, and is famous for the cremation, for the, you know, ghats that are there for cremating bodies. And so the devout Hindus, they go there to cremate the bodies of the deceased family members, because at that spot, in general, you know, this is when, well, in any part of the Ganges, but that spot is famous because of that. The same principle that is described how the sons of Maharaj Sagar, simply by the touch of the waters of the Ganges to the ashes, immediately deliver the sons of Sagar to the heavenly, you know, regions. So bathing in the Ganges as your life purifies you from your sins, purified, you know, whatever ailment you have in your body, and elevates your consciousness. And when you die, it will take you to the heavenly planets. You know, at worst, at best, it can, because it have purified you to the point that you become, you know, a devotee of the Lord, and being delivered to the lotus feet of the Lord, one can achieve actually liberation. So, the Srila Sukadeva Goswami say, therefore, just that bite her touch, I mean, it's so wonderful, the descriptions that are here about her. So, but he says, you know, these pastimes of her freeing, the doing all these things, is not so wonderful. It's just the actual reality. She is the bathing water. So we drink the Charitamrita every morning, because this is the water that bathes the lotus feet of the Lord. And we do it that every morning. So the Ganges is this big Charitamrita, river of Charitamrita that flows. Now it's been seen, but for the materialistic people of these times, they have no clue, they can't understand it. It is impossible, it's an impossibility. Is one of these great mysteries, because according to scientists, the Ganges is the most polluted body of water that exists in the earth, according to them, some of them, especially when they measure in Varanasi, the area, the water is so polluted. That's what they say. That there is no life that can exist in there. They say that about 2,500 liters of sewage is dumped in the waters of the Ganges in Varanasi daily. 2,500 liters, no, larger gallons, or 250,000. Actually, let me see. I was just right now. I was just reading about, just to get the quote right. Anyway, they say. Let me see here if I find that. Okay, I can find that immediately. But a huge amount. There's a whole huge amount of sewage that comes into the Ganges. There is chemical dumped from factories. There's chemical dumps that comes from just the usage of fertilizers. There's chemical dump that comes from people, from the you know, industry that dyes saris and things like that. There is they dump cow dung, you know, they dump just litter, garbage bags and bottles and plastic and things like that. They dump human remains, you know, dead bodies, animal bodies, dead animal bodies. So the question for these materialistic people, especially the Westerners who goes there, because it's a big thing. Imagine 2 million people bathing in waters in which life cannot subsist, according to them. So then they go like, this is crazy. This is actually something that something have to be done, because these people, they have this faith that they can, you know, they have this faith, and that's why they do it regularly. But we come to understand the question is not what is being dumped into the barn, into the river, but what is not being dumped into the river. Right? That's a question that they, you know, trying to put forward to the government, that this is a great human it's public danger to do that. This guy say that, oh, here it is, this is it. No, oh my God, I was quiet. Okay, 250 million liters of untreated sewage into the river daily. 250 million liters goes in the waters in Varanasi. There are 33 drains along the entire length of the city of 87 ghats. So through 87 ghats, the pilgrims comes and take bath daily. And along the city, there's 33 sewage that comes of a city of 2 million, some millions of people, you know, dumping their fecal, you know, all the stuff. It comes into a river, 250 million liters daily. And that's just that. A 2006 study counted around 10 to 8 cells of fecal coliform or bacteria originating for human, from in human intestine in 100 milliliter per 100 milliliter of water. So you take, you know, some handful of water, and there's all kinds of creatures that can kill you, supposedly finding there. What to speak of the effect when you put organic matter, is none. When you put organic matter into water, what happens is that the organic matter becomes start to have, what's the word? Become putrefied or something like that. No. When it goes, start to not disintegrate, but what's the word? Decompose. When it starts to decompose, then it takes all the oxygen. You know, it takes all the oxygen of the water and basically makes it lifeless. Nothing can survive there. The oxygen is taken. So that's what happens when organic matter, and then you have dead bodies, you have all kinds of things, you have, you know, sewage stuff. So that's why there's no life that can take place in water that is polluted, sewage. It kills everything, kills all life form. But to their surprise, and this is something they cannot explain, the presence of oxygen in the waters of the Ganges is 300% greater than any other river in the planet. Three times the amount of oxygen. This is how they try to analyze this from the material perspective. Dr. Frog, you know, the Dr. Frog principle. You're trying to understand something beyond you. with your experience, your personal experience. So it's supposed not to be, it's supposed to be dead water, but it's more alive, actually. 3 times more life than any other thing. This guy goes, this scientist, you know, goes and try to do this, you know, like, goes to India, to Varanasi, and they start to talk to the people who are the scientists, the Indian scientists that are trying, you know, to, that are endeavoring to purify or to clean the waters of the Ganges. This is their duty or their work, scientists. You know, and then as they talk with them, yeah, they say, you know, well, we're dealing with this and we're dealing with that, and this is what we found and this and that, you know, all these, you know, facts of the pollution that is there. And then finally this guy say, well, why do people, are the people becoming sick? You know, and the scientists light up and say, no, actually we bathe every day and we drink the water. It's like, you know, so I'm fine. You know, I'm like, you know, there's nothing happened to anyone. And I'm very healthy. So they can't. So then, you know, the Indian scientist trying to explain the unexplainable to a Western scientist, you know, doesn't try to say, well, it's because the waters of the Ganges emanates, you know, from the lotus toe of the Lord. Then this, you know, come on. They say, well, it's the factor X. It's the factor X that allows this miracle, this inconceivable thing to happen. They call it the factor X. I read here. She's like quite funny. This is, I read for you. This is some, it was an a document that was put by this scientist. His name was Holick, who went to Varanasi to do this paper, this study. Because, you know, they can't explain the thing. Holick speak to D.S. Bhargava, a retired professor of hydrology, who has spent a lifetime performing experiments up and down the Ganges in the plains of India. In most rivers, Bhargava say, organic material usually exhausts a river's available oxygen and start putrefying. But in the Ganges, an unknown substance or factor X, or X factor, that Indians refer as a disinfectant, acts on organic material and bacteria and kills them. Bhargava says that the Ganges self-purifying quality leads to oxygen levels 25 times higher than any other river in the world. Actually, not 3 times, 25 times higher than any other river in the world. X factor. The question is, what is this X factor? Holick searched for a scientific explanation for the X factor, and that leads him to a spiritual leader and an ashram and a biologist in Kanpur. But his best answer for the Ganges' mysterious substance comes from Jai Ramachandran, a molecular biologist. No clue. They can't explain it. But it's the fact. They observe it, and it becomes a mystery. But for the devotees who have received this wonderful gift of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it becomes, it's very easy. It's very simple to understand. The X factor is the lotus feet of the Lord. That's what the Bhagavatam is telling us right now. This X factor is that Mother Ganges emanates from the lotus toe of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta Deva. So, it's a very wonderful thing to, it's one of those, one of the things that, one of the examples that makes, that allows to understand the supreme position of the Vedic scriptures, and among the Vedic scriptures, the supreme position of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that defies any type of material conventional understanding. That because it is explained in the is described and explained in the Vedic scriptures, therefore it must be always accepted as truth. The example, the other, there's another two examples that are given regularly by Srila Prabhupada. One is the cow dung, the stool of the cow, that it have also the same type of purifying effect. That is not contaminated, but rather purifying. So much that is used in the worship of the deities, which is something that, one thing that, you know, every time, so if you hear, oh, stool, then, you know, it's dirty immediately. You don't, you know, like some of the things sometimes that I don't like in the neighborhood, here is that sometimes you confront with the stool of a dog, and it's not very pleasant. What to speak if you step on one of those things? It's the most, you know, like disturbing, you know, thing. So, I mean, you feel violated, you know, when that happens. You know, it's like you don't know. You once throw the shoes, you know, in a garbage dump, and you know, walk, you know, bare feet. But here is the stool of an animal, actually, so pure that it's used for the worship of the deities. That you know, it doesn't contaminate you, but it purifies you. And then it's actually been proven scientifically that the cow dung has all these antiseptic properties. And it's quite something that you find, it's not just understood in India, but it's actually throughout the world, ancient cultures use the cow dung to to purify spaces. Like, you know, I went to visit my wife's country of origin, of birth, South Africa. So we went into this, you know, they make the villages of these, of the native, you know, African tribes as a, some sort of a tourist, you know, arrangement. So you go into these villages, and one of the native African villages, they have their house covered with cow dung, just like they do in India. Just like they do in India. If you go in the villages in Bengal and Mayapur, you see that they all covered with cow dung. Indra Prabhu, his room was completely covered by cow dung. So, and then he made all this, how you say, carving things in his room. Because it's so purifying that it keeps, you know, bad elements out, insects and creatures that are not good, you know, they don't grow, they don't come there, they don't like, it keeps things disinfected. So this is what the scriptures tell us. So we accept the scriptures like that. And therefore, if we go into the Ganges, you don't get culture shock. Westerns in you know, there is, you know, Varanasi specifically is a famous city because it's one of the most ancient known cities in mankind that has been since, you know, from the beginning of recorded history, that city has been, you know, a big city, a very important city throughout the, you know, ages, centuries. So people go there and they become completely culturally shocked by the pollution, not only in the streets, but the river itself. So, you know, part of visiting Varanasi is taking bath in the Ganges. And for a Western that is not having this type of education, Vedic education, and the faith, then it becomes no way. I even put, I take a little drop of that, you know, water in my head. It's a culture shock. But for us, we can do that same thing when we go to Vrindavan. The Yamuna is extremely externally polluted, but we still take bath. Well, at least, you know, the last time I was in Vrindavan was 16 years ago. And I remember, say, whatever. You know, I went in and I took a few drops of water and say, you know. And didn't become sick, didn't got any, you know, stomach or, in, you know, like that internal problem. So we do because we have faith. And so it's a wonderful thing. So some thoughts on the glories of Mother Ganges. Any comment or questions?
Hare Krishna, Brahm.
Hare Krishna, Dasha Prabhu.
Sorry, I missed a big part of the class, but I was listening to your comments on this topic. And it seems like everything is in the eyes of the beholder. The consciousness or beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. And I was discussing with one devotee one day about prasadam. When we share prasadam with someone, we can, for example, if we have to take remnants from someone who is, you know, a sannyasi or a guru, we tend to be happy. Yes, maha, ultra maha.
Yes, exactly.
Ultra maha.
That's another thing.
But then, what if I take prasadam from a person who is not a devotee, who is, I suppose, a guest, right? Why I will not be so happy? Finally, prasadam is Krishna, right? And it will not be contaminated. We can understand that, of course, if the person has a disease, right? If has a cold, we can get that cold too. But if a Maharaj has a cold, also we will get that. You understand what I mean? So what will be the difference finally? Because, you know, this mantra, pavitram idam uttamam, that thing is pure, right? Prasadam will be pure and will never be contaminated. Even if a dog touched the prasadam, will be still prasadam. So why we are so happy to receive a remnant from another person, like from a maharaj, and not so happy if we receive prasadam from, for example, our, you know, like a brahmachari or someone else? How we can understand this, right?
Yeah, it's true. It depends, it's as you say, your first statement. It depends on our faith. But in one sense, we can, in the narrations of Raghunath Das Goswami's taking the prasadam that was rejected even by the animals, it was so decomposed externally that even the animals, you know, wouldn't take it. That's what he would take. He would take that, you know. I mean, like I complain, my wife has this composter, little can that she puts, you know, the scrap vegetables and things like that. And at one point, you know, it decomposes. And when you open it, the thing is, you know, you can't, and what to speak when you have to throw it out, you know? You go with that thing like, if a drop of that juicy stuff touches you, then, you know, the smell, you can take it. Well, Raghunath Das Goswami would take that, will wash it in, you know, and then that's what he would take. That was his daily meal. So Prabhupada say, we can imitate that, you know, but Raghunath Das Goswami had that faith. Prasadam is prasadam from Lord Jagannath. It's pure. It's already pure. So now he's completely purifying and is capable not only of nourishing you, but also purifying you. But if you don't have that faith, you're finished, you get sick. Krishna reciprocates according to your faith. So we can imitate. In temple culture, because we start to become acquainted and trained to have this faith, then even, you see, among devotees, we do that. We take a little bit, you know, of the remnants of our fellow devotees, you know. And sometimes we have this game among devotees, you know, who's going to take our plate, you know, to clean it. And then, you know, you take a little thing and pop it in your mouth. And then the devotee becomes horrified. Oh, no. You know, like that type of thing. And, you know, we have fun like that. Bing. Imagine, you know, some guests, you know, looking at that, you know, and say, well, these people is really weird, you know, because they don't understand that. So it depends in our faith, you know, we do that and we feel, as you say, happy, you know, and happy because we have faith that is actually this is something that is purifying because it's honoring, you know, not only the prasadam, but also you honoring the position of a devotee. And so it's another example that these things that have this paraphernalia or anything that is related to the Lord, that has been touched by the Lord, like the waters of the Ganges, like prasadam, the devotees of the Lord, these are all have the purifying effect. I think it can actually, just like this, is able to liberate you from material bondage. So we worship and we accept with that faith. But we have to be also, you know, like, if we have a doubt, you know, then you may get sick. You know, if you know, prasadam falls into the floor and it's a filthy floor, and then your fellow brahmachari say, come on, Prabhu, eat it. You know, it's prasadam. And you go like, really? Do I have to eat it? You know, I don't want to eat it. Come on, Prabhu, hey, eat it, you know. Back to so and so. You know, you don't have necessarily, you have doubts in your heart, so it may not be the right thing. Same with, you know, I mean, we recommend anyone. I think maybe I was, because I didn't have necessarily a very, you know, deep, I'm still, you know, a Kanishta devotee, and doing the thing of drinking the Yamuna water, just, I mean, I'm sure there's all things that I'm holding. I'm not sure. The fact is that the things that I'm holding, of attachment that I'm holding, is not pure devotion, you know? Then, and taking that just almost to, you know, hey, I have faith on this, but it's not pure faith. You know, you can get sick. Somehow or other, you know, Rasha Masundar's mercy, but we don't recommend it necessarily. You have to be, you know, sometimes in this ghat that is heavily polluted, the devotees just take a handful of water and then put it in their heads, you know, and with that type of faith, but you know, but it's different than you see some Brijavasis, they're swimming, you know, splashing waters happily. You know, we don't do that. You know. So, any other comment or questions? Krishna Arjuna?
Just a related thought. So, if persons are visiting temples and are taking prasadam, but say particularly ISKCON temple, prasadam is made available, you know, very generously in the form of a meal, but the watching that that plate full of foodstuff isn't one of understanding it to be none different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but rather, you know, it's a meal. One's coming to have a meal. And would it be that, you know, and it's something related to Atasha Krishna's question, you know, would it be that even though the consciousness is dull that way, or the way of understanding the prasadam is in that kind of very dull way, would it be that nevertheless the ingestion of the prasadam is still having the purifying effect, even though there's no understanding, or it's not been approached in the right way, or it's not been shown the regard it should be shown. So its purifying effect will still be working on the person's bringing about change in the person's outlook, just by virtue of the fact that it's been ingested?
Yeah. My understanding is that it does have the purifying effect. And just like it says here, Prabhupada explains, it gradually allows you, he says, gradually becomes a devotee of the Lord. So gradually means according to how deep the condition of this person is, then that gradual purification will happen. It may take, you know, several lifetimes, but there is some elevation that happens with prasadam and with the holy, in contact, any type of contact with something that is connected to the Lord has a purifying effect. So it will happen like that gradually. It may not this, you know, depending on how deep the person, because it's gradual, means that the person desire or condition for sinful activities will still be there, so it will commit it immediately, you know, after. But there's elevation. There's an elevation. And there's something that happens too, that it guarantees the person to continue that elevation. So it's almost you give the person the capacity of having another human life instead of going to some really lower species of life because of their activities. So is also one of those things that is that X factor that is an impossible thing to understand, you know, with our realm of experience. It's impossible to understand that, you know, that here's a simple group of brahmacharis that goes out into the street to chant the holy name, and they're actually saving every single person who comes in contact with them. They've been given the guarantee that they won't lose their human body, just by coming in contact with them. Which is like, really? How? Well, the X factor, you know, the X factor is in place. It's quite something, no? It's the, you know, like the prime benediction for humanity at large. This paramdrishya nivartante principle, that even a little advancement, even something microscopic, can save you from the greatest danger, the greatest fear, which is to lose a human body. What to speak if they appreciate it? What to speak if they actually give something in exchange? You know, is quite something. So this is the beauty of the mercy of the Lord. So even the thing that, you know, helping elevate some living entities to the heavenly planets, Sukadev Goswami, this is not necessarily so wonderful. The wonderful thing is that this is the mercy of the Lord and the capacity that mercy has. All right, so I stop here. Thank you so much. Karantarashimam Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.